Have you ever had somebody ask you to describe God? Have you ever had somebody say, what is God like? Or tell me about God. And if somebody was to ask you that, what would your reply be? What would your comment be about that? This morning, we're going to observe the Lord's table in our morning service. And oftentimes, when we observe the Lord's table, we'll ask those of the congregation to, in one or two words, tell us what God means to you. And it's amazing the statements that in the heart of God's people that quantify or define who God is. And certainly no one word could do it. But as we go around the auditorium and everybody makes a statement, everybody declares what God means to them, with all of them together, we start to get a picture of who God is. But one of the words that could certainly be used to define God is goodness. Goodness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. That is our God. And many people use the statement and they say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Because God is good. God is goodness. We know that. We understand that. And I hope you believe that to be true and evident in your life. This sixth part of the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, is a fruit that's revealed in the heart of the believer who is following and led by the Spirit of God. Just as a fruit is the evidence of a tree, whatever that tree might be, it's an evidence of that tree. So is the fruit of the Spirit, evidence of a Christian and our yieldedness to the Spirit of God as we follow Him. Jesus said it like this, ye shall know them by their fruits. It's by their fruit that you know them. We know an apple tree is an apple tree because of the fruit that it bears. And as Christians, we should have some fruit that's evident that people can see. And one of those is goodness, goodness. Webster's 1828 dictionary, defining this idea of goodness, it is the state of being good. Maybe, maybe physical qualities which constitute value, excellence, or perfection, as in the goodness of a timber, the goodness of some soil. But in moral qualities, it constitutes Christian excellence. Moral virtue. Strong's defining this word from the Greek is it's the virtue or benefit of goodness. Holman's Bible Dictionary defining goodness says the perpetual desire and sincere study not only to abstain from every appearance of evil but to do good to the bodies and the souls of men, to the utmost of our ability. To do good, to the utmost of our ability. The fact is, as we look at a practical idea of this, is as Christians, we should want to do good. Isn't it mind-boggling today in the world and society as you watch the news and you see things, just the base wickedness of society, isn't it just amazing? I mean, I'm sure many of you read about that individual that was in the Mall of America that just, for no reason at all, grabbed a child and threw him off the balcony of the mall down several stories to the ground. I mean, what in the world? How could somebody in their mind be so far gone and so far based that they would be moved to do something so terrible? And you'd say, why? And he's like, he didn't know why.
Right, well, he's crazy.
Yeah, he's crazy, Harry. Thank you. We heard you. Yes, vile, wicked. But as Christians, it should be in the heart of a Christian the desire to do good. There ought to be something in you, the Spirit of God, just motivating you, challenging you, not just to avoid the base things of life, the wild or the wickedness, but to with all that is in us, all of our ability, desire to do good. That's what it should be. That's how we should be. We should want to do right. Do you want to do right? Is it your desire? If you do want to do right, then what you got to do is get to the root of the matter. You see, many times a lot of people think about their life, and when they don't understand biblical principle about salvation and how Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for us, and salvation and ultimately eternity in heaven, forgiveness of our sin comes through Jesus and Him alone, and praise God because of His resurrection. That alone. But many times people that don't understand that believe that it's based off of a scale, good and evil. How am I doing in my life? I'm a pretty good guy. I haven't done anything really bad. It's their good weighed against their evil, and in their they desire to do good, and they go after trying to do good things. But you understand when we comprehend and apply the principles given to us here with the fruit of the Spirit, it's not a matter of going after good. It's a matter of going after the Holy Spirit of God. And good is the fruit that comes out of that. It's not like, oh, I've got to do this good deed. I've got to do this good thing. But those good things will come as a result of going after God, of following Him. And the Holy Spirit will produce that good in your life. Isn't that exciting to think about it? That it's not a matter of, I've got to try and do this and do this and do this. I've got to try and know God and let the Holy Spirit lead my life. And opportunities, desire, and ultimate fulfillment of good things will be a result. It will come because of walking in the Spirit that is producing the right kind of fruit. Romans 15, verse number 14 says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness." Full of goodness. He talked about these believers, and he said to the believers, "Hey, I'm persuaded that you're full of goodness." Just doing right. Doing right. Goodness is all through the Bible. 51 times the term goodness is translated in our King James Bible, and the word good is 720 times. Those obviously apply to many different things, like all the way back in the garden at creation. God created, beheld it, and He said it was good. I suppose it was. It was a perfect place at that point. Sin hadn't defiled it yet. So it applies to many different things, but that principle, of course, we know is a defining character trait of God Himself. As we think about goodness displayed. We could look at different Bible characters through the Bible, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and talk about the good things that they did. There's a few Bible characters that I wrote down that have specifically said about them that they were good. Would you turn to Judges chapter 8? Judges chapter 8. That's back in the beginning of the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Judges chapter number 8. So early in the Bible there in the Old Testament. In Judges chapter 8, I think it's the last verse of that text. Yeah, verse number 35. He says, "Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel." It says here about Gideon that he showed goodness unto Israel. In following and doing what God wanted him to do and the way God wanted him to do it, he was good unto Israel. Now he says here that they didn't show goodness to him. Now sometimes you understand that your goodness is not going to be repaid with goodness. I mean, we think it should be. That would only make sense. If I'm good to an individual, that they would be good back, but that might not be the case. He says here that they didn't even show kindness to him after all of his goodness, and quite possibly that will happen to you, but don't let it discourage you. Don't let it discourage you. You just keep doing what God wants you to do and keep doing right, because ultimately We do it as unto who? The Lord. Do it as unto the Lord, not to them or for them as much as it is to honor and please God. And God is happy, and God is pleased. And if they never repay, if they never say thank you, if they never show any type of goodness, that's okay, because we did it for God, and God is pleased. You could turn over just a couple of books. You get through Judges, and you got your 1 and 2 Samuel. Well, you got Ruth first, but 1 and 2 Samuel. Go all through the Kings to Chronicles. Go to Chronicles, and we'll see about Hezekiah. Chronicles chapter number 32. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And verse number 32. Again, the Bible tells us here about a man who was good. And it specifically says that he had goodness. So 2 Chronicles 32, 32, he says, "Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet." The acts of his goodness. Wouldn't that be something to be good to be known for? Be great to be known for? If you get to this point in your life and they're writing your eulogy, they're writing your epitaph, they're talking about your history, wouldn't it be something to have a list of goodness? That's a lot better than the list that some people leave, amen? So to leave a history of having done good. Goodness is displayed by men throughout the Bible, but we know the ultimate example of goodness is God. And I don't have the time, and you don't have the strength in your hand to write down all the verses that I have that talk about the goodness of God. If you would like them, I can make my notes available. Maybe I'll have Miss Amy print them out next week to hand them to you. But let me give you some, I'll just give you a few of the thoughts and a couple of references. Descriptions of God's goodness, first of all, the fact that it's part of his nature. It is God's nature to be good. Psalms 106, verse number 1. It's also in 107, 118, and 136. But understanding that because this is God's nature, his goodness towards us is eternal. It's not going to change. God is good, and his goodness towards us, hey, he says, "I'm God, and I change not." It's not going to change. Aren't you glad that that compassion he has, that goodness that he has towards us is going to continue? It's going to continue on. It's going to be here. It's not going to change. It is his nature. His goodness is great. It's a great goodness, according to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 35, and Zechariah 9:17. It's great goodness. It is rich. It's a rich goodness. It's abundant. And I've got many scriptures for each of those. It's also very satisfying. It's enduring. It's universal. It's disregarded by the wicked. The goodness of God is disregarded by the wicked. Turn to Psalms 34, chapter number 8. Psalms, let's look at that one. Psalms, we'll be in Psalms. There's a bunch of these that are in Psalms talking about God's goodness. Psalms 34. Isn't it amazing how they disregard the goodness of God? Psalms 34, verse number 8. He says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee." And my reference for that is not the correct one. It's disregarded by the wicked. I'm going to have to look that up again and get it to you. I apologize. The Lord is good all the time. Amen. It is a source of strength. It's a source of strength for us, God's goodness. Of course, the greatest display of his goodness to us was his willingness to send his son to die for us. And his son, who was God in the flesh, willing to give his life for us. Psalms 86, verse number 5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive." Good and ready to forgive. God is ready to forgive. Not just the sinner who needs to come to Christ to repent for sin and be forgiven the first time, brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ, but you know God is good and he's ready to forgive even us. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The goodness of God that even though I've failed him over and over and over again, I can still come again to him and ask for forgiveness, and he will forgive me again. His goodness is eternal. It's enduring. It's satisfying. The goodness of God on display for us. How should we respond to the goodness of God? The Bible gives us several things that we should how we should respond to the goodness of God. First of all, we should not despise it. We're not going to take time to turn to all these, but in Romans chapter 2, verse number 4, we should not despise. What does it say? Despise not thou the goodness of God. We shouldn't despise the goodness of God. I don't even understand how somebody could, but obviously it's a problem. Because Jesus, the Lord, exhorts us in this word not to despise the goodness of God. You know, maybe, just hit me, maybe it's because out of God's goodness at times he chastens us. It is his goodness that would chasten us. And we're not supposed to despise the chastening of God either. So maybe that's what he's talking about there. Despise not the goodness of God. We also are to continue in the goodness of God. Romans chapter 11, verse number 22. We should praise God for it. Turn to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. In Psalms chapter 107 and verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You understand that's what Anniversary Sunday is about? You see this banner? Magnifying God's miracles. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's what we want to do next Sunday. We want to praise God and his wonderful works in our life, in our heart, in our families, and in our church. Amen. Unto men. All those that we could get to come and celebrate with us, we want to praise him for his goodness. It says almost the same thing in 15, verse number 15. Verse number 21, verse number 31, and in verse number 43, all of those verses read almost the same thing. Oh, that thou men would praise the goodness of God. Verse number 43, look at that. He says, whoso is wise and will observe these things. What he's talking about is all the things that were listed in this chapter here. He concludes that and he says, hey, if you're wise, you're going to observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The goodness of God. Hey, you want God's blessing on your life? Praise him. Praise him. Recognize his goodness. Behold the works of the Lord. Recognize God's goodness and praise him for it. We should praise God for his goodness. We should not despise it. We should continue in it. We should praise God for it. We should also thank him for it. In Psalms 107, Psalms 118, and Psalms 136, Isaiah 63, verse number 7 says that we should tell others about the goodness of God. Hey, there's nothing wrong with saying praise the Lord or man, isn't it a beautiful day God gave us? People look at you weird when you say that. They're like, oh, what are you? You know, you're one of those, when we were kids, they called us Jesus freaks. You know, so I haven't heard that in a lot of years, but, you know, they might say you're a holy roller or you're one of those, you know, Bible-thumping Christians. You know, but hey, nothing wrong with letting people know you love God and that you praise him for his goodness. I apologize. I've got a little cough this morning. So the Bible says we should share it with others, Numbers 10:32. We should rejoice in it, 2 Chronicles 6:41. And I've got a list of about 10 other texts that deal with the goodness of God. It's all through the scriptures. I think it's pretty important for us as believers to be exercising this fruit to be evident in our life. It is demanded of us. the goodness of God is demanded. We know, of course, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's going to come as a result of following God and letting the Holy Spirit work in our life. That fruit is a result. It is right to do good. It's right to do good. To him that knows to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. It's right to do good all the time. We ought to desire to do good. I mean, it's right to do good, to help somebody in need, to write a note of encouragement, to send somebody a text and let them know you're praying for them. Give somebody a call and say, just been thinking about you. Don't need anything, don't want anything, just want you to know we love you and we're praying for you. It's right to do good unto others. And it ought to be a desire of the heart of every believer to do good. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is going to prompt you. It's going to prompt you to do things. It's an encouragement to my heart when I hear, just a little thing here or there, or somebody in the church tells me, oh, so-and-so called this week, or so-and-so did this for me, or one of you might say, hey, I called so-and-so this week, or I stopped by and dropped a meal off for somebody because of this, or I heard somebody was going through this. Is there anything we could do for them? We want to go over and help this way. It's such an encouragement to my heart to hear how the church family is loving one another. Not necessarily an organized plan, and we do that at different events and different times in people's lives, whether it's a birth or maybe it's a death or maybe it's a hard time of sickness, and we might organize meals. But even when a time when it's not organized, the Holy Spirit prompts your heart. You can say, hey, I just want to make this meal and take it over to Abeta and Alanansi. Just because. And that's great. It's good all the time to do good. Amen? You understand that goodness comes from the heart. Matthew 12, 33 through 36 says, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? He says, hey, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Whatever's inside is what's going to come out. And if we spend time with God and have a right heart, the Holy Spirit of God will cause the right things to come out. You know, you got to be careful what comes out of the mouth, because you're telling on yourself. You're telling everybody what's in your heart. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Goodness really boils down to obedience to God. Obedience to God. Because he tells us, in no uncertain terms, that as believers, as Christians, we're to be good. I'm going to read some verses to you. In Psalms 34:14, he says, depart from evil and do good. Speak peace and pursue it. Psalms 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Psalms 37:27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for which such sacrifice God is well pleased. James 4:17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. 1 Peter 3:11, let him eschew evil and do good. There's over and over again, we're commanded to do good. It's demanded of us as believers. The nice thing is that it's a fruit of the Spirit, not something that we have to try and go do, but something that will happen as a result of letting the Spirit work in our lives. We are, of course, to do good unto all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. We are to do good unto all men. There's some men that I would not necessarily want to do good to. I mean, there's some men that maybe, what in the world? But the Bible says do good unto all men. Wow. That's a tall order. But then it goes on and it adds another level there. And he says, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. Especially your brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to do good. He tells us to do good to our enemies too. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. Wow, that takes it a whole nother level. To the ones that hate me, do good unto them. Sometimes we have a hard time doing good even to those that we would call friends, that we would call, you know, people that we get along with. God says to do good to even to those that hate you. I'll tell you what, you've got to be walking in the Spirit to live that out. Because it's not natural. It is not natural at all to do good. Because the flesh doesn't want to do good to them. The flesh wants to let the road rage come out. The flesh wants to get even. But God wants us to do good. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Luke 6:27. Is it Luke 6:35? But love your enemies and do good and lend hope for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. God said he would reward you greatly if you do that. So he gives us the power through the Holy Spirit, the desire, and enables us to do good. And then he says, if you do, I'll reward you greatly. That's like me giving you $100 and saying, go to the store and buy me 3 dozen donuts. And if you do, I'll give you $100. That sounds good. I gave you all the means and the ability to go do it in the first place, and then I rewarded you for it even afterwards. I would say God's pretty good. God is pretty good. And we ought to aspire to be good. The fruit of the Spirit produced in our life will produce good fruit as long as it's healthy. When the Christian stops walking in the Spirit, the fruit begins to stop being displayed and the root begins to die. An example of this, let me give you this and we'll close. Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 4 says, might take you a little time, it's almost at the end of the Old Testament, but he says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, as the early dew, it goeth away. He says, your goodness, this morning we were outside, and first thing in the morning, there was that morning haze in the air as the sun started coming up. That started getting burned off, and it was just going away. And the grass is all wet. When we go out there this afternoon, that dew, that morning dew is going to be gone. He said to Ephraim and Judah, he says, what happened to your goodness? It's like that. It was there, but it went away. What I'm saying, Christian, is this something we have to continue to work at? I wish we could say, yeah, I want to be good, and we could pray for it one time, and it's done. But it's something we have to continue to do. The Apostle Paul said it this way, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He says, man, something I can't get past. The Apostle Paul said it, and I think we're going to have the same problem. When I would do good, that old slew foot in the flesh is right present with me all the time, hindering me and keeping me from doing what I desire in my heart to do. But the key there is, as a believer with the Holy Spirit, is that desire present to do good. Yeah, we're going to have to fight the devil. We're going to have to fight the flesh. But is there a desire there? I hope so. I hope the fruit of goodness is evident in your life. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this morning and this fruit of goodness that can be present, and you enable us to do it. You give us the desire to do it and the power to do it, and then you said you reward us greatly for doing it. My Lord, you're so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son and this day which we get to celebrate and look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means as a promise for us. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this time in Sunday school. We ask you to bless in a real way the morning service. Would you draw us into your presence? Would you speak to our hearts? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.